That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let everyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. And for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on the account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the lure of wealth and choke the word, and its yield and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears the fruit and yields. In one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another in 30. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
It's my pleasure to be in the pulpit today in Laura's place. When I talked to her about this, I had her pick the scripture of what we were going to study today, or what the message would be. And at that time, I then went to some different places and looked at several sermons on this same subject and found out that all these famous preachers and theologians, they're way a lot headier than I am. And, you know, I don't know that I understood everything they said. So what we're going to have here today is an old country boy's rendition of what the sermon will be about. Faye, I know that you're so very proud with your grandson coming, you know, doing this mission trip. Our mission, of course, is going to go to that wedding, and then our main mission is to get Richard Bryan back to Texas safe and sound and all in one piece. So remember us this next week, if you will. You know, during the summer... Yes, ma'am, because I'll be taking care of you. Okay. Yes. In the summer, you know, we kind of sparse a lot of empty spaces in the pews, and everyone might say, like today, well, it's summer. There's a lot of people traveling, and there are. But I fear what really actually happened is that there's a lot of people found out who was going to be giving the message today. So maybe that's why it's a little sparse. But and today is the 13th, but it's not Friday the 13th. This is Sunday the 13th. And our message this morning is going to last 13 minutes. What I'm going to share with you is the parable of the sower. We heard earlier part of the scripture from Matthew about the parable. The parable of the sower, someone who plants seeds, someone who sows seeds into the fields. This parable appears in the other, in two of the other Gospels. It's in Luke chapter 8. It's also in Mark chapter 4. Of course, our reading was from Matthew. With some variation, all three of the Gospels give a similar rendition of the farmer who was sowing the seed. And through the parable, as he did many times, Jesus shared and taught the multitudes of people about preparing them for the kingdom of heaven. But what about the disciples? If we look further in the scripture, we'll see that the disciples didn't really catch on always. They didn't necessarily catch on to what the parables were about all the time. And they asked questions of Jesus. In this case, the disciples asked, "Why do you use parables?" When he spoke to the people, Jesus went on to explain to them, to the disciples, that they had an advantage. They kind of had an inside track. After all, they spent a lot of time with Jesus, and so they kind of had an inside view of what the kingdom of heaven might be about and how to prepare for it. Yet still, like us, they didn't always catch on. Many years ago, when I taught math in the middle school to middle school students, sometimes they didn't always catch on to some concept or some function in math. So sometimes I use stories or analogies. I don't really think my analogies were quite as important as the parables that Jesus used. But I use those to help the students to try to understand some concept or some function in math. An example of that might be in multiplying numbers in your head, so that, you know, without writing them down. In doing so, it would give them an advantage in working on a test or an achievement test or something of this nature. For example, multiplying a number, say, by 25, the number 25. If we said 17 times 25, then of course they could write it all down and figure out what the answer would be. But to do it in your head, it seemed very hard for them. It might not seem hard for us, but it seemed hard for them. So it seemed hard until I told them, "Well, how much money would you have if you had 17 quarters?" Okay? And immediately in seeing that, then they could go on and say, "Well, okay, 4 quarters goes into 17 4 times, so I'd have $4 with 1 quarter left over. So it'd be $4.25. Therefore, 17 times 25 would be 425. So viewing it that way, it seemed to make it a little easier for them. Of course, you could go on. If it was 17 times 26, then you'd have that many quarters, and you'd have 17 cents left over, and add a dime and add 7 cents, and you could get the answer that way. So those were things that I did to try to help them understand. Jesus explained to the disciples in the next several verses in Matthew 13 that the people needed help in understanding the kingdom of God. And he went on to say, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." But isn't that true of us today? There's probably none of us that think that we understand it all. That's why we keep seeking. That's why we keep studying the Word of God, by reading the Bible, by coming to church on Sunday, by going to Sunday school, Bible study groups, attending Cairo and CYF for the youth, by going to church camp, and so forth. So we keep seeking because we don't really think we understand it all, and probably never will understand it all. We hear and we want to understand, yet sometimes we feel that we don't catch on, just like the disciples did not always catch on. And as we'll read in just a few minutes, in the last part of this scripture in Matthew about the parable of the sower, Jesus had to explain it to the disciples too. We'll come to that in just a moment. Of course, we all grew up knowing that in the fields that we saw, they were usually really big fields, that the planting was done in a different way. It was done very systematically. The fields were plowed into rows, and a machine would come and place the seeds there. And you didn't have the person taking handfuls of seeds and scattering them out. In Jesus' time and for centuries, that's what happened. Rather than systematically that way, they did it kind of systematically, but they'd scatter the seeds. They would sow the seeds across the fields. And these fields were probably much less cultivated than the fields that we see when we see those out in the country. I have, and maybe you have too, have planted grass seeds over the lawn. I've overseed sometimes winter grass. And I do that by scattering the seeds over the lawn. I'd walk through the lawn just throwing some here and some there and try to get it all. But later I'd become very frustrated because right over here is a nice pretty green lawn that comes up, and right over here it's a little sparse. So that was kind of frustrating to me. And while I was doing it, while I was scattering the seeds, I'd be kind of irritated because some of the seed blew into the flower bed. So now I'm going to have grass coming up in the flower bed. Some of the seed blew into the neighbor's yard, some on the sidewalk, some out into the street. So if you can imagine, if you haven't experienced it yourself, the process of sowing seeds, like in the parable, had some problems. And the people could relate to those problems and to the story. And that's why it became meaningful to them. That's why Jesus used parables. Jesus goes on to explain to the disciples in verses 18 through 23. And Jesus said, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. What was sown on the rocky places is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. What was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of life, of this life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. But what was sown on the good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." I think everyone's in agreement when you hear the parable that the seed is the word of God. So let's think of two other possibilities from there. First, if we're doing what we probably all should be doing, and that's spreading the word of God throughout to others, through a combination of our words and our actions, through our daily lives, then we would be the sower, the one who sows the seeds. Think about that. How frustrating it must be for a minister to sow the seeds and then see them land week after week on the pathway, on the ears of someone who does not understand, and then some other interest or some other being channels that person away from the kingdom of God. Or sows the seeds on the rocky soil, on the ears of someone who is looking for a place to belong and gets so excited and is filled with joy, but doesn't have the opportunity to dig deeply enough to take root before and then becoming discouraged and quickly falling away from the word. Or the seed that is sown among the thorns and the troubles of the day or their past choke out the meaning of the word from their heart. How frustrating these situations must be for a minister to see, or for us to see when we sow seeds and yet many of the seeds are not effective. But if you look at the promise of the parable, that's the promise of the good soil, where the Word of God, through our words and our actions, are taken in by someone and whose heart and mind does understand and does comprehend God's presence. This promise says that our efforts, the minister's efforts, will produce 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. So, if we are the sower, then yes, there are many of the seeds that will not be effective. Jesus tells us that in the parable. But He gives us hope. He gives us a promise that some of our efforts will be fruitful beyond our belief. We should never give up. Since we have that promise, we know that good things will happen. Who knows? There may even become a time when the hearts of those with pathway ears, or the ones with rocky soil ears, or the thorn-plagued ears may be changed if our cultivating efforts continue. Will they all be changed? No. He says so in the parable. Will some be changed? Maybe. But even if one changes because of our efforts, wouldn't that be wonderful? Whether we see the change or not, we still have the promise of this parable. Now, I said a few minutes ago that there were two possibilities. The first was that we would be the sower. The second possibility might be, are we instead the soil? And if we are, at first that seems like it might be kind of scary, until we consider the power of two gifts from God that we all have. The first is the gift of choice, for we can choose which soil that we want to be. If we tend toward the pathway, we can gird ourselves with God's help and strength and ward off the evils of the everyday world. We have a choice. If we tend toward the rocky soil, we can study and use our excitement to move away from the rocks and to gain the depth and the understanding of God's Word. We have a choice. If we tend toward the thorns, we can put the troubles of the world behind us and trust in God's promise. We have a choice. Our choice is to move toward the good soil, to trust in God, to study God's Word, to actively commune with God and God's people here in our church. The first gift, the gift of choice, is overshadowed by the second gift. That gift gives us the strength in both possibilities. Whether we view ourselves as the sower or whether we view ourselves as the soil, this gift, of course, is the greatest gift of all. God has given us Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to give us strength and to give us hope in all situations. If we view ourselves as the sower, the promise of Jesus' teaching through this parable will help us through the frustrations of being the sower. If we view ourselves as the soil, we know that our belief in the power of Jesus' sacrifice, that God will give us the strength to change, to be the good soul, and do what we know we should be doing. God has given us a choice. Sometimes we might feel like the sower. Sometimes we might feel like the soil. In either case, the teaching by Jesus, this parable of the sower, gives us hope as we strengthen our understanding of God's kingdom. Praise be to God. Amen.